When you get going at high speeds, especially through residential neighborhoods, that's scary, says Bob Martin, a former high-ranking LAPD officer. Even if it is only 50 miles per hour, your adrenaline and heart start pumping like crazy. It's almost like a runner's high. It's a very euphoric kind of thing. You lose perspective. You get wrapped up in the chase. There is that old saying, a dog in the hunt doesn't stop to scratch its fleas. If you've ever listened to a tape of an officer broadcasting in the midst of pursuit, you can hear it in the voice. They almost yell. For new officers, there's almost hysteria. I remember my first pursuit. I was only a couple of months out of the academy. It was through a residential neighborhood. A couple of times, we even went airborne. Finally, we captured him. I went back to the car to radio in and say we were okay, and I couldn't even pick up the radio. I was shaking so badly. Martin says that the King beating was precisely what one would expect when two parties, both with soaring heartbeats and predatory cardiovascular reactions, encounter each other after a chase. At a key point, Stacy Kuhn, one of the senior officers at the scene of the arrest, told the officers to back off, Martin says. But they ignored him. Why? Because they didn't hear him. They had shut down. Fife says that he recently gave a deposition in a case in Chicago in which police officers shot and killed a young man at the end of a chase. And unlike Rodney King, he wasn't resisting arrest. He was just sitting in his car. He was a football player from Northwestern. His name was Robert Russ. It happened the same night the cops there shot another kid, a girl, at the end of a vehicle pursuit, in a case that Johnny Cochran took and got over a $20 million settlement. The cops said he was driving erratically. He led them on a chase, but it wasn't even that high speed. They never got above 70 miles per hour. After a while, they ran him off the road. They spun his car out on the Dan Ryan Expressway. The instructions on vehicle stops like that are very detailed. You are not supposed to approach the car. You are supposed to ask the driver to get out. Well, two of the cops run up ahead and open the passenger side door. The other asshole was on the other side, yelling at Russ to open the door. But Russ just sat there. I don't know what was going through his head, but he didn't respond. So this cop smashes the left rear window of the car and fires a single shot, and it hits Russ in the hand and chest. The cop says that he said, "Show me your hands, show me your hands," and he's claiming now that Russ was trying to grab his gun. I don't know if that was the case. I have to accept the cop's claim. But it's beside the point. It's still an unjustified shooting because he shouldn't have been anywhere near the car, and he shouldn't have broken the window. Was this officer mind-reading? Not at all. Mind-reading allows us to adjust and update our perceptions of the intentions of others. In the scene in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, where Martha is flirting with Nick while George lurks jealously in the background, our eyes bounce from Martha's eyes to George's, to Nick's, and around again, because we don't know what George is going to do. We keep gathering information on him because we want to find out. But Ami Klein's autistic patient looked at Nick's mouth, and then at his drink, and then at Martha's brooch. In his mind, he processed human beings and objects in the same way. He didn't see individuals with their own emotions and thoughts. He saw a collection of inanimate objects in the room and constructed a system to explain them, a system that he interpreted with such rigid and impoverished logic that when George fires his shotgun at Martha and an umbrella pops out, he laughed out loud. This, in a way, is what that officer on the Dan Ryan Expressway did as well. In the extreme excitement of the chase, he stopped reading Russ's mind. His vision and his thinking narrowed. He constructed a rigid system that said that a young black man in a car, running from the police, had to be a dangerous criminal, and all evidence to the contrary that would ordinarily have been factored into his thinking, the fact that Russ was just sitting in his car and that he had never gone above 70 miles per hour did not register at all. Arousal leaves us mind blind.